risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Good morning and welcome to Grace Lutheran Church. Today is the second Sunday in the season of Easter. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciple told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it into my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
In the name of Jesus, amen. As we shout acclamations again of Christ is risen, it seems like today it's not so special. Today, many pastors and even some churches have called the first Sunday after Easter sort of low Sunday, the Sunday where not so many people are here. Last week, the resurrection was a big deal. People came out in droves in churches all across the country, but now that the second Sunday of Easter is here, it doesn't seem like it's such a big deal, a big event. We're all about big deals as people. We love to have big deals going on in society, in our lives. What's the big deal this week, or next year? Have you ever noticed how society makes huge deals pretty much out of things that are nothing? North Korea seems to be a big deal, but next week it may be Syria or some other country. But even then, with some things that are sort of dangerous like that, we still tend to make even bigger deals over really stupid things. One can spend hours and hours on the radio or watching television, listening to a bunch of people shouting over each other about anything. Politics, sports, celebrities and their clothing, or whatever else. We have hundreds of channels beamed down from satellites in the sky that give us the ability to watch round-the-clock news, round-the-clock coverage of chefs cooking food, round-the-clock coverage of people refurbishing a dilapidated house in a half hour, amazingly. People doing all sorts of things that are popular and trendy that really don't make a big deal at all. What is the big deal for you today? What brought you back here today? What about the big deal that we had at the beginning of this service with the baptism of little Braden? What about the new life and blessing for the Smith family? A new baby who is now in our midst the greatest in the kingdom of God, being given the gift of the Holy Spirit, having his sin washed away, becoming the newest member of God's family in our midst today. That better be a big deal for us today. What about your own baptism? Reminding yourself as you walk by that font today that the fact that those words that were spoken and prayed over Braden were spoken for you, the words of forgiveness today, the words that God has called you as His own dear child? What about the words of absolution that you heard again today? In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. Jesus today tells His disciples, if you forgive any one of their sins, they are forgiven in heaven. The lies, the cursing, the killing, the lusting, the gossip, the multiple sins that you and I have done against God and that we rightly deserve death and damnation for are wiped clean by the spoken word of Christ. His blood has been shed for your sins. What about the fact that here again on the altar of God is His body and blood set and prepared for you so that you may taste and see that the Lord is good, as we heard in our introit psalm today, that you receive this in the midst of all of life's tragedies and questions, that you receive it to be forgiven of your sins and strengthened in your faith. And we did this last week. It's not news on the internet. We don't have cameras sitting outside of the church reporting that literally in the service here today, heaven is meeting earth for you. But it's true. What's the big deal? What do you believe is a big deal? What you and I are taught or not taught about all of this Christian faith is a very big deal. There is no gray matter with God. There are things today that you hear of today that are life and death consequences, eternal life and eternal death consequences. If you notice today, famously in our lesson, it was Thomas, one of the hand-picked original 12, who did not and would not believe that Jesus was risen from the dead. I don't like the term doubting Thomas. It's not what Scripture calls him. Scripture says that he was apistos. You don't know what that means. Makes me sound smart, but it's actually a really very important word. Apistos. Thomas was unfaithful. He was not just simply doubting. I'm not so sure about this. He was unfaithful to Jesus. Thomas would not believe that Jesus was risen from the dead. Unless I see for myself, unless I put my fingers into the nail spots and my hand into His side, I will never believe, he says. It wasn't like Thomas was some sort of liberal atheist. Thomas was a disciple. It wasn't like he was somebody from a different religion, a Buddhist or a Hindu or a Muslim. Thomas was one of the first Christians. He was a Christian before they were even called Christians. He was very active in his faith. A few weeks ago, when they go to see Lazarus at the tomb, Thomas stands up and says, "Yes, let's go. And even if we have to die with you, Jesus, I will die with you." He showed up regularly and he knew what the church looked like without all the lilies and the candles and the poinsettias and the baptisms or the memorial services. And yet he believed. And yet he was still found in unbelief. If you asked him, he probably would be very bold in saying how much he loved God. He just didn't believe that Jesus could be alive again. Those things, people rising from the dead, just don't seem to happen. Even though he saw Lazarus come out of the tomb before Jesus' own death and resurrection. And this is where it gets very interesting. The disciples are locked up in this room again, and Jesus appears. And notice what he says to them over and over again, "Peace be with you." And yet, he doesn't let it slide with Thomas. He doesn't look at Thomas and sort of shrug his shoulders and say, "Well, you know, he has his doubts, but he'll be okay. He spent 3 years with me following me around. He's got the basics down. He's good enough." No! Jesus calls out Thomas for his unbelief, for his very wrong belief, and it's a very big deal for Jesus. More to the point, the fact that Thomas did not believe or understand these things, he did not know the true meaning of peace or forgiveness or life with God. All of the other apostles had seen this, and they were at peace. Thomas's unbelief was going to lead him down to the fact that all of this faith that he had followed with in Christ was in vain, that the peace of God did not go on beyond all of our understanding, but it had to be rationalized. This is a huge deal for Thomas. It's even a bigger deal for Jesus. So big enough that he makes an appearance 8 days later just to tell Thomas that he had risen from the dead. I think it's very fascinating that Jesus never heard the words of Thomas in the flesh, but he knew his heart. Whether the disciples told Jesus or not, we don't know. But such an unbelief would put Thomas in grave eternal danger. And so Jesus, with the doors locked, appears so that he may care for Thomas. He specifically sought out Thomas and told him to put his hands in the nail marks and spear marks and stop being such an unbelieving dolt. Do not disbelieve, but believe. These words of belief are a call to repentance in faith. These words were specifically paired up with the passion wounds of Jesus. Look at what I did for you. Look at my hands, my feet, and my side. Peace be with you. Here is peace, Thomas. Peace that passes all understanding. Look and touch and feel and know for certain that because I stand in your midst in the flesh and blood, I live and so will you. And did you notice? Maybe you don't. That's fine. Scripture never records Thomas actually touching Jesus. He doesn't. He hears the word. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And so that word is in your midst today, the correct teaching and preaching and belief. If Christ is not raised from the dead, our faith is in vain. And the only big deal for you and for me is the questions on the TV shows and the internet and the politics and the sports. But when the grave calls you to sleep, as it has for two of our members here in recent times, the TV, the politics, the social media, all of the photos and everything else that we cherish in life, those things will carry on without you. And as the grave calls you and I to sleep, we realize that all of the things that we amass for ourselves around us aren't really such a big deal, are they? The big deal for you today is that Jesus entered the upper room and spoke words to the fearful disciples. The big deal is that he showed Thomas his side and his hands and his feet. The big deal is that he said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." That is you. That is me. The big deal is that Christ is raised from the dead and that the promise of the resurrection is yours today, no matter what the world thinks of it or how many people are not darkening our doors today. The big deal is that the word of eternal life has been spoken into your ears today, that the words of eternal life have been connected with the waters of holy baptism for yet another, but yet also reminding you and me that baptism now saves you as well. The word is attached to bread and wine, attaching it and bringing to you the very flesh and blood of Christ. The big deal is that Christ enters into this room today, whether we have the doors locked or unlocked, to speak his peace to you. Because I am no different than Thomas in my unbelief, and I would dare say you are probably the same. This is why Christ comes to you in his very real and tangible ways, not only to speak to Thomas, but to speak to you and to me the very real truth that he is risen, not asking us to somehow physically reach out and touch, but giving himself to us that we may taste and see all of his goodness. Because our Lord means business. He means life and death business. Sin is nothing to be taken lightly. It's a big deal for Jesus. Jesus didn't blow it off. He didn't turn a blind eye to it. He made it for himself. He is the one who took on all of the sin, all of the uncomfortableness, all of the shame, all of the guilt, all of the pain. And he gave you his life, his forgiveness, and his peace. His peace is a very big deal for you. His salvation is a very big deal for you because it is a big deal to his Father. And so it is, as you come to this place once again, bring your sins, bring your cares, bring your fears, bring your unbelief. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And know that you have a risen Savior who will not chide you, who will not bring you down, but who will raise you up in the forgiveness of all of your sins and point you to his cross and his empty tomb. And so that you may have peace, peace that passes all understanding, peace as his body and blood is lifted up. And we say, the peace of the Lord be with you always. Peace in the forgiveness of sins that you have heard. Peace as he gives his heavenly benediction to you as you leave this place. God grant you the courage and perseverance to stand firm in this faith and in this peace as you live out as his daily baptized children of God. He who is faithful will do this, even in our unbelief. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And so will you. And that is the biggest deal of it all. Amen. We can finish our hymn.